In recent days and previously, there had been messages that had been circulated with regards to the meat situation in Saudi Arabia. And the message that went viral just a few days ago in South Africa is a message that reads, a warning to those intending to perform Umrah or Hajj. Mufti Abdullah Nana, the founding member of the Halal Advocates of America, says, I can personally verify that machine-slaughtered chicken, meat not slaughtered by a Muslim, and doubtful meat is imported into Saudi Arabia. The senior body of scholars in Saudi Arabia, the Hay'a Kibar al-Ulama, has formally issued a 50-page fatwa that all imported meat is haram. It is a major travesty and perhaps a conspiracy that millions of Muslims that visit Mecca and Medina every year are eating haram, doubtful food. There are local hand slaughter suppliers, but only a small percentage. 90% of food chains, McDonald's, KFC, etc., including Al-Bayk, use imported meat. For reference, I've translated the detailed fatwa of Hay'a Kibar al-Ulama, body of senior scholars, as part of the following book by Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Damat Barakatuh, and the link to that is being attached. We have Mufti Abdullah Nana with us on the line. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, the message that we just read out is a message that has gone viral across South Africa. In the message, you speak about your own personal experience with regards to the slaughter industry in Saudi Arabia. Perhaps we could start off by you sharing with us your own personal experience with regards to the abattoirs that you may have visited that do import meat into the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
JazakAllah khair for having me on the program, Mufti Musaji. I have had the good fortune of visiting a number of countries which do export into Saudi Arabia. And building upon what Mufti Maulaki had said, the challenge we have is that many countries worldwide are exporting into Saudi Arabia. And the challenge is that many of these countries do not have a solid halal certification program. They do not have proper oversight. And even up to the recent history, the United States of America was also exporting beef, halal beef into Saudi Arabia. Canada has also been exporting beef into Saudi Arabia. Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, as Sudan, Pakistan, India, and many other countries as well. I do have direct experience in visiting a number of slaughterhouses in the United States and finding out about the slaughter process. I have also visited a number of plants in Canada, and I've also visited plants in New Zealand and Australia. And likewise, I've also done other research. I myself have not been able to visit plants in all the countries, but I do have contacts in places like France, which also exports meat to Brazil, which also exports meat to Saudi Arabia, and also Brazil as well. So a lot of the information which I'm presenting is either information which I've personally witnessed, or I have other contacts or friends or colleagues who have visited these countries, and on this basis, I came to the conclusion which I came to.
What are the major areas of concern?
The areas of concern include mechanical slaughter. For example, France, it is documented that companies in France do mechanical slaughter, and those chickens are exported to Saudi Arabia, and they are sold in the supermarket in Saudi Arabia, and they are distributed in Saudi Arabia. Likewise, the other concern is that non-Muslim slaughter. A number of our colleagues personally visited Brazil and observed the process there, and they found that in many cases the slaughtermen were not Muslims. In fact, it cost a lot more. Sometimes the salary is even five times more to pay for the salary of a Muslim versus a non-Muslim. So on that basis, simply based on economics, it ends up being very expensive to hire Muslim slaughtermen or even to find a Muslim slaughterman in the middle of nowhere in Brazil. So as a result, generally, many of the slaughterhouses use up to half the slaughtermen tend to be non-Muslims in Brazil.
The meat that...
Those are some of the concerns. And another concern is, specifically in North America, one of the slaughter methods used is something called the vertical cut. The vertical cut, which would mean when it comes to your red meat, instead of slaughtering horizontally from ear to ear, as is the Sunnah method, in other countries in North America, the standard slaughter process is something known as sticking or the vertical cut, where instead of cutting the vessel of the throat horizontally, they will cut up and down. And I have written a research paper on this as well, and it is documented that such meat is being sold in Saudi Arabia currently, where it's either hand slaughtered, either machine slaughtered, or slaughtered by a non-Muslim, or slaughtered by a vertical cut. And this is a fact.
Is the meat certified by any halal body?
Musaji, the challenge is that just because a halal body has certified the product does not necessarily guarantee that it's halal. Unfortunately, there, in countries such as Brazil or in countries where there's lack certification, there is incentive to certify the product and declare it to be halal, even if it is not really halal. And that is a challenge, that to set up a proper halal program in a country which lacks proper Islamic infrastructure and which lacks even Muslims, which even lacks a strong Muslim community, is very difficult. Even the findings of the Hayat al-Kabar ulama, who personally sent many people to these different countries to investigate, their conclusion was you cannot only rely on the halal seal, and you cannot only rely on this halal certification. You need to do, in many cases, that will there is fraud, there is deception, there is cheating, and as a result, the person has to do more investigation just beyond a halal certifier. As Maulana Nolaki was pointing out, that we need to find out what are the halal standards of those halal certifiers, what is their track record, how reliable are they, and before we trust their certification, we need to know where they stand.
You made reference to the Hay'at al-Kibar al-Ulama. Who are they, and the fatwa that they had issued, why is it not being heard?
This fatwa was from the time of Abdulaziz bin Baz and Sheikh ibn al-Faymin. Mufti Taqi Usmani, in his book, in his Arabic book, Ahkam al-Dalaih, he included the entire text of the fatwa. When I translated his book, I ended up doing research on the topic. This was the cause of my initial interest into this subject matter. That fatwa was issued many years ago, and the gist of the fatwa is that all imported meat, at that time they determined all imported meat is haram and is unlawful to consume. Since then, I personally sent a follow-up question to Hayat al-Kabar ulama. Hayat al-Kabar ulama is the name of the senior body of scholars in Saudi Arabia. It's something equivalent to the Jamiat ulama of South Africa. Many senior ulama of Saudi Arabia have been part of the Hayat al-Kabar ulama. During the process of translating my book, the book of Mufti Taqi Usmani, I sent a follow-up question to Hayat al-Kabar ulama, asking them if the old fatwa is still relevant. In other words, has the situation changed? Is the situation the same? And I had sent them a written question. I did not receive a response after many months. And finally, I ended up calling them personally and asking them what is going on. Is there a reason why my fatwa is not being answered? And I spoke to Sheikh Abdullah Mahmoud over the phone, who is a member of the Hayat al-Kabar ulama, and he told me that the old fatwa is still relevant. So perhaps it is ignorant, perhaps it may be convenience or feigned ignorance, but it seems like this fatwa, although this fatwa is published as part of the Hayat al-Kabar ulama, it is well documented. Many people have objected to saying that the fatwa does not exist, the Arabic fatwa does not exist. In fact, it is part of the Hayat al-Kabar ulama's book. And I have the page numbers. It's on volume 2, page 605, in Hayat al-Kabar ulama. So perhaps the wisdom of our elder Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, was to include this entire fatwa in his Arabic book and to ensure that it is widely circulated and that more people are aware of this issue before they go to Saudi Arabia, before they make the important journey of Hajj and Umrah.
Mustafa, while you make reference to the fact that this fatwa is from some quite a time back, for many people they consider this is a new issue and they are being exposed to the discussion surrounding the meat for the first time, and for them they're asking that why is it suddenly an issue? So has this always been an issue? Has it not been tackled sufficiently in the past? Why is it being tackled more vociferously and audaciously by yourself now?
What I would say is that this has been an issue for some time, and even my family is from Saudi Arabia. They were born in Saudi Arabia, so even in Saudi Arabia, among the what they call the mutawas, the more religious people, they avoid imported meat. We've noticed the practice of many of our elders and many of our senior ulama. It's common. Many of our ulama perform vegetarian hajj. They do not consume any of the meat there, or they slaughter it themselves. So this has been under the radar for many years. Right? We know many of our elders, many of our senior ulama who exercise caution when going to Saudi Arabia. And I always tell people that you will not die if you don't eat meat for a few days. Right? If our du'as are important to us, it is not that big a deal for a person to avoid eating meat for a few days, especially when there's doubt. So I would say it is not a new issue. It is an old issue. But many a time, there's a need for education, there's a need for awareness, and there's many issues, even in our deen, many issues even in our teachings that we are only learning about right now. We learn new things every day. So just because of the fact that people are only becoming aware of it now through social media, through WhatsApp, through these different messages, it doesn't mean that the issue was not around. The fatwa of Hayat al-Kubar ulama, keep in mind, was many years ago. So they have been warning people, and the Saudi Muslims have been avoiding imported meat for some time. This is not a new issue.
On the issue of machine slaughtered, as you alluded to, that Mufti Taqi Uthmani has touched on this in his book, and you've been translating that book. Perhaps you could present a brief overview of the crux of the fatwa.
Yeah. I assume you're asking, are you asking specifically about the fatwa of the meat of Saudi Arabia or
machine slaughter?
Machine slaughter. As Mo Nolaki alluded to earlier, there is a difference of opinion among the scholars regarding machine slaughter. The concerns about machine slaughter are as follows, that many scholars indicate that the slaughter must be attributed to a human being and not to a machine. And there is a legal precedence for this in the books of fiqh. In the discussion of hunting, there's something known as the bear claw trap, in which the animal is trapped in without, and killed without the, like a mouse trap, something similar to a mouse trap. The animal is killed without the involvement of a human being. And in the books of fiqh, in all the four madhabs, they do state such an animal is not halal to consume, because there is no involvement of a human being. Likewise, the scholars say in the verse of the Quran, إِلَّا مَا دَقَيْتُمْ, they say the slaughter has to be attributed to a human being. When we discuss machine slaughter, the issue with machine slaughter is that the person presses one button in the morning, and after turning on the switch, up to 100,000, 200,000 chickens are killed just by the machine rotating by itself. There's no human involvement. The other major issue is that the requirement of tasmiyah and bismillah is not met. As Mufti Uthmani has made it clear, Dawat Barakatum, that the tasmiyah or bismillah must be recited by the slaughterman himself and not by a third party. And a person standing near the machine and saying bismillah will not meet the requirement of tasmiyah. Likewise, at many of these plants, the backup slaughterman, the machine is still misses chicken. There is a backup slaughterman, and in many cases, the backup slaughterman is not a Muslim. So all these aspects of doubt exist regarding machine slaughter. That is why Sanha, generally the scholars of South Africa, did not allow machine slaughter at all, and their policy has been focusing on hand slaughter and promoting hand slaughter. Likewise, my organization in the United States, the Halal Advocates of America, we only accept the requirement of hand solder. There are a number of fatwas done and research done in this line. There was a survey done by the Halal Monitoring Committee, the Committee of England, where 300 scholars were asked about their stance on machine solder being impermissible. 296 said it was impermissible. And likewise, there's other research being done on the topic. Some scholars do allow machine solder. But generally, my research is the majority of the scholars do not accept machine slaughter for the reasons which I've highlighted above. I do also wish to bring to our attention of our viewers, it is an important issue. The sad fact is, based on my contacts in Saudi Arabia right now, there is mechanical slaughter in Saudi Arabia as well. In the past, we assumed that all imported, all local meat in Saudi Arabia, as Maulana mentioned, Faqih, the company Faqih and Watani, they both do hand solder. However, there is another company in Saudi Arabia known as Al Yom. They do machine solder even in Saudi Arabia. So these are some of the concerns why when hand solder is available, when it is possible to pay a Muslim and to bring in a Muslim to solder by hand, and it's still viable and still practical, why are we going to these controversial halal methods? Why are we going to a method which might not meet the halal requirements? when the correct way is right in front of us, the sunnah way is right in front of us.
The other issue that you alluded to earlier is the slaughter of non-Muslims. Now, the discussion with regards to the slaughter of the Ahlul Kitab comes up from time to time. Perhaps to equip our listeners, you can present an overview in that regard, Mufti Saab.
The discussion on the meat of the people of the book, the main thing for us to remember is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that the food of the people of the book is lawful for you. However, it's important to understand that the requirements of sa'ar must be met by the Jews and Christians, just as those same requirements must be adhered to by Muslims as well. This is the research of Mufti Al-Qismani, the Lamas Barakatum, and this is the view of the majority of the scholars of Islam throughout the century. Which means that even if we are to accept the meat started by a Jew or Christian, they must follow the same requirements, such as using a sharp knife, such as reciting the name of Allah, Bismillah, and such as severing the required vessels of the throat, trachea, esophagus, and the jugular veins. So this is the summary of it. The challenge we have is that in these countries where there is no clear state religion, how do we know that they're really Jews or Christians? Are we going to go and test them or interview them or ensure that they're real Christians? A good percentage of the world today is now atheists or agnostics. So to assume that so-and-so country, all the people there are Christian, it's often not the case. And to assume that a particular slaughter person in a country it has to be a Christian, those assumptions end up being wrong. And what I would say is that put the fiqh issue aside. Yes, the Quran does allow the slaughter of the Jews and Christians. However, at the same time, Imam Malik and Imam Shafi, rahimahumullah, they both stated that when proper halal is available, which is slaughtered by a Muslim, then there's no need to go towards Ahl al-Kitab. Right? Imam Malik made it very clear that if meat slaughtered by a Muslim is available in the stores, I will not allow meat being sold by Ahl al-Kitab. And the problem we're having here is that one is theory, one is practice. In theory, the food of the people of the book is lawful. In practice, our Muslim countries in the Gulf, may Allah bless them and Allah bring progress to them, they call the shots. These are countries which control billions and trillions of dollars. And when they have the right to import meat from a country, when they have the right to put in restrictions, then they can at the very least, if they're spending all this money and billions of dollars, they can at the very least ensure that the higher standard of halal being met. And this is something that I personally brought up, as Maulana Luki alluded to. The Saudi Food and Drug Administration had a conference, and in front of the prince, I brought this issue up to the prince himself. The prince was there. He heard what I had to say. He heard what my colleagues in England had to say. I brought this up in Kuwait. I brought this up in Saudi Arabia. That when you control the finances and the customer is always right, then you should exercise your right and ensure that the higher standards of halal are met. And you should do your best to get rid of these fraudulent and deceptive practices going on in other countries. And you should really demand the higher standard.
So that is where it stands on those issues. Now, in terms of the response from the authorities, from the ulama, has there been any sort of change in direction, or are we still seeing the same type of practice continuing? Looking to the future, will the status quo remain as it is?
What has been happening in the last few years is that there is increased awareness. This practice has been going on for many years. The imports, the Gulf countries instead of local production, the majority of the meat sold there is imported. However, in recent years, there is more education. When I personally presented this to the prince at the Saudi Food and Drug Administration conference, he did acknowledge what I had said, and he in his closing remarks, he said, "We have heard what our brothers from America and England have stated, and we will take steps to address the situation." So what is happening is they are now, even though the Gulf countries are importing, primarily importing, they are now more reliable options available. So the global halal industry is now growing. There are now, Saudi Arabia now imports a good percentage from India and Pakistan and Sudan and New Zealand and Saudi Arabia. So New Zealand and Australia. So there are now more reliable options available, and we do see more awareness. We do see even in these countries that more store owners, more of the members of the public are aware of this. So what I say is that the key is education. Right? We as a consumer put our dollars to work. We are going for Hajj groups. We are now going to Saudi Arabia, and we have a choice to which restaurant or which establishment we support and we frequent. And personally, likewise, we have many of our South African brothers who are now living in Saudi Arabia, who now have, to such extent, they've even set up their own restaurants there. So there is a change, and likewise, the local Saudi slaughterhouses are also increasing in number. So in the past, the ratio of imported meat to local meat was very high. Now local meat is picking up. There are more slaughterhouses. For example, there are hand-slaughtered chicken slaughterhouses even in Makkah and in Medina themselves. But the long-term solution, which I feel is, we cannot, when a person goes to Saudi Arabia, as maybe 100 years ago, you cannot assume that all the meat is proper halal and it's all local. The issue is we have to do our due diligence and we have to investigate. As Mufti Rafi Usmani has clearly stated in the fatwa, in this time and age, to do research on the meat we eat is wajib. This is a fatwa which he has given. So as a result, even in Saudi Arabia, to be complacent and to say the governmental authorities have taken responsibility, everything here is halal, these emotional arguments really do not carry a lot of weight. And what we need to do, the long-term solution is that our Muslim community has to be more aware when we go to Saudi Arabia. Support those places which are legitimate, put our dollars to work, and in the long term, I feel there has to be a proper halal authority in Saudi Arabia that will certify and inspect and oversee the stores and restaurants, just as there is in America, just as there is in South Africa in the form of SANHA. We need something similar in Saudi Arabia because of so many countries, they import meat from so many countries. And that you cannot, the average person cannot tell. The store or restaurant might be buying meat from four or five different countries. And they might switch their suppliers, right? So it makes it very difficult on the consumer. And the long-term solution is we need to set up a system, at least where there's transparency. Okay, if you go out to a place to eat, someone has verified that it's all local. For example, in Saudi Arabia, there's a restaurant. Someone has verified and is checking to make sure it's all local. Or someone is verifying to make sure it's all from, for example, from India or so on. So by more people being aware of this issue, by us being more educated before we go to Saudi Arabia, and by us at least bringing up our concerns and voicing our concerns, inshallah, we do hope that a change will come. And we are seeing changes. Inshallah, we are seeing positive changes in that direction. A lot more people are educated about this than 5 years ago, than 10 years ago. And inshallah, we do hope, inshallah, this situation will be resolved soon, inshallah.
For the listeners, what can they take from this discussion, Mufti Saab, that if they are simply asked, is the meat halal or haram, or for their own practice, what is your response?
Musaji, I believe if we cannot oversimplify the matter and say it's all halal or it's all haram. We need more information. Just as Muslims living in South Africa, we cannot assume that every single store, every single restaurant sells only halal. There's a process. We need more verification. So unfortunately, we cannot give a simple solution to all the Muslims going to Saudi Arabia. There is no simple answer. Everything is halal or everything is haram. That's not the case. The answer to the question is more information is needed. Yes, what we will say is those establishments which are using only local meat, which is hand-slaughtered by a Muslim, those establishments are reliable. Those establishments which import from reliable countries and authentic sources, they're also reliable. But due to the confusion and the mix-up, where imported meat is mixed up with domestic meat, where hand solder is mixed up with machine solder, where meat soldered by a Muslim is mixed up with meat not soldered by a Muslim, we cannot give a simple answer to the Muslims going there. And I really think it will not kill us if we stay without meat for a few weeks, especially when it's a matter of our du'as being accepted, especially when we're going to such holy places. It's a journey of a lifetime. I think we need to be exercise caution. Looking at the importance of what we're consuming, I think we need to seriously look at the situation. And unfortunately, the scholars cannot give a simple answer. But I cannot just say yes or no. More information is needed, and it really does depend. There are local, there are a number of restaurants in Southern Arabia which only use local chicken. So what I would say is frequent those places and make it a point to do your due diligence.
Mufti Saab, Jazakumullah Khair for your time on Radio Islam. We appreciate you coming on and presenting the explanations as well as the clarity on the issue.
Thank you for having me on, Mr.
Masidi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir, that was Mufti Abdullah Nana speaking to us from the United States of America and presenting his own research and his clarification with regards to the comments that were made about the status of imported meat into the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.